One of these bonds is not like the other. Welcome to this audio issue of Distressed Investing, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. These bonds may seem a perfect match by all the standard hallmarks, they look alike, but here's the catch: their yields are in different ballparks. Martin Fridson. This is the tale of two bonds. How can one bond trade at less than half the price of another bond that is identical in nearly every way? The answer to this riddle sheds light on current developments in the debt market and why it's essential to know exactly where you stand if the issuer's financial position goes down the tubes. Here's some essential background. Valuing a corporate bond, distressed or otherwise, comes down to a few basic factors. The issuer, potential buyers must analyze the financial statements, business prospects, and quality of management to quantify if the issuer, the company selling the bond, will fail to meet its obligations, that is, making interest payments on schedule and repaying principal at the maturity date, seniority. In the event of a bankruptcy, the percentage of principal that the holders of a bond will recover depends on where those holders stand in the pecking order. The pecking order is determined by the status of the bond in question related to other debt and equity of the company. The pecking order is: holders of secured bonds, holders of senior unsecured bonds, holders of subordinated debt, holders of junior subordinated debt. Behind bondholders are preferred shareholders, common shareholders. The further back a bond stands in this line, the smaller the percentage of principal its holders will probably recover if the company goes bust. It's important to note that holders of secured bonds receive 100% of what they are owed before the bankruptcy court moves to next in line, the senior unsecured holders. The coupon rate, the annual percentage of face amount that the bond pays to investors in interest. A bond paying 5.5% interest, or with a coupon of 5.5%, will pay $55 annually to each bondholder. The maturity date, a bond's value is also a function of how many years remain until the issuer is required to return to holders the $1,000 face amount per bond. The call date, in many cases, the issuer has an option to retire the bond prior to its maturity. The call price, the issuer of a callable bond can exercise its call option, beginning on the call date, at the $1,000 face value, 100 in standard bond pricing notation, or at a modest premium to face value, depending on the terms laid out at the time of issue. Market liquidity. All else being equal, investors are willing to pay a little more for a bond that trades frequently and that they know is easy to sell if the need arises. One influence on a bond's liquidity is its amount outstanding. By way of illustration, suppose a company raised $500 million with a bond issue and subsequently bought back $25 million in the open market, leaving $475 million outstanding, meaning there are like 475,000 bonds in circulation. That bond is likely to have a higher price, lower yield, than a similar bond with just $200 million outstanding, meaning there are only 200,000 bonds in circulation. Now let's put that pricing theory into practice by comparing two real-world bonds, detailed in the table below. They are both issued by the same company, information technology software maker Gota Group, LOGM, which has since been acquired. They're both first in line in the pecking order, a type of secured bond called first lien, indicating that they stand ahead of all other bonds to get paid in the event of a bankruptcy. Their coupons, call dates, and call prices are identical. Not relevant to the pricing, but the two bonds have different ishins, 12-digit alphanumeric codes used to identify them, similar to the bond cusps that our recommendation reports show. Otherwise, the only difference shown in the table is that Bond B has a larger amount outstanding than Bond A. We might therefore expect Bond B to fetch slightly more and to yield slightly less than Bond A. In reality, the table shows that Bond B's yield is higher than Bond A's yield, and that Bond B is trading lower than Bond A. And the yield is not just slightly higher. It's a massive 43.61 percentage points higher. Have fixed income investors gone mad? You might wonder. No. What seems like a gargantuan mispricing is actually the market's reasonable response to an exchange offer that Gota Group made in 2024 to shore up its balance sheet. The company took advantage of the fact that its existing debt was trading around two-thirds of face value and persuaded the holders to trade it in for new debt of that lower amount. The new bonds and loans were all first lien instruments, but now there were gradations within the first lien category. In the pecking order to get paid if Gota Group goes broke, Bond A was a first out, meaning its holders are ahead of the holders of the second out Bond B. Moody's recognizes this difference by rating Bond A one full rating category higher, B2, than Bond B, CHO2. The market similarly distinguishes between the two issues, assigning a much higher yield and much lower price to Bond B, despite the fact that Bond B is more liquid. Subdividing seniority categories can go much further than it has in GoToGroup's case. When appliance parts manufacturer Robert Shaw filed for bankruptcy in 2024, it had super priority term loans ranging from first out to fifth out. Prior to the company's debt restructuring, the holders of what became the sixth out and seventh out term loans had been first out and second out, standing at the front of the debt holders line. But with $700 million of new debt created ahead of them, they ended up with a 0% recovery of their principal in the bankruptcy settlement. These examples show that when considering a distressed bond or preferred stock, it's more important than ever to analyze closely where it ranks in relation to the issuer's other obligations, in terms of getting paid in the event of a bankruptcy. Even in cases where bankruptcy is a relatively remote possibility, seniority differences will be reflected in the yields of a company's various debt instruments. It's something we at Distressed Investing are very mindful of as we search for the best opportunities in everything from secured bonds to common stocks of distressed companies. Portfolio update: we issued 3 sell alerts on 2 bonds and 2 stocks in the past 2 weeks, with each resulting in more than double-digit returns from when we first recommended them. Details on these sell alerts and other company updates are below. Sell alert: shares of Herbalife, HLF. In the report More Ways to Get the Good Life, dated June 12, 2025, we recommended purchasing shares of Herbalife, NYSE, HLF, then trading at $8.27 per share. 7 months later, on January 16, we recommended selling those shares for a more than 2x gain. As a reminder, in our February 13, 2025, report we recommended purchasing Herbalife's 4.25% convertible bond maturing June 15, 2028, then trading at a nearly 30% discount to its $1,000 face value. We noted that Herbalife, which had a checkered regulatory history and had extravagantly bought back much of its stock at very high prices, was turning around. Its operations had begun to stabilize after years of decline, and management had sensibly committed to using the company's cash flow to reduce its debt. We recommended selling these bonds roughly 5 months later at a gain of 35%. Because we saw the market reappraising Herbalife's prospects, and when the bonds started to rise sharply, we then recommended shares of Herbalife. The company's operations have continued to improve since then, and the market has become increasingly optimistic about Herbalife's business, causing the stock price to rise. This increase in Herbalife's stock price accelerated this month, and the shares closed January 20th at $16.88. This price exceeds our valuation of $15.56 per share and is double the price when the report was issued. On January 16th, we recommended that investors should take profits by selling their shares down to $15.75 per share. Action to take: sell Herbalife, NYSE, HLF, down to $15.75 per share. Sell alert: diversified healthcare trust bond and stock. We recommended a $1,000 package of the Diversified Healthcare Trust, NASDAQ, DHC 4.75% bond maturing February 15, 2028, then trading at $808, and Diversified Healthcare's common stock, then trading at $2.31 per share. Our premise was that both DHC's business and its finances were improving, as they have done. On January 9th, we recommended selling both the Diversified Healthcare 4.75% bond and the company's shares for a combined gain of 48.8%. In December 2025, Diversified Healthcare repaid the remainder of a $943 million issue of bonds scheduled to mature next week, on January 15, through a combination of asset sales, new borrowing, and cash flow. The bonds were secured by Diversified Healthcare's assets and priced to return 11.25% annually to investors. This financial improvement revealed by the paying off of this debt, combined with the company's positive operating results, had caused both the 4.75% bonds and DHC shares to rise significantly. The 4.75% bonds had been trading around $967 and the stock at roughly $5.32 per share. At these prices, the combined position had risen roughly 48.8% over 20 months, or approximately 29% per year. We recommended that subscribers close out this combined position at current levels. We continue to recommend selling the bonds down to $940 and the stock down to $5 per share. Actions to take: sell DHC 4.75% bonds maturing February 15, 2028, CUSIP 81721 MAM 1, down to a price of $940, and DHC shares down to a price of $5. Sell alert: AMC Entertainment 6.125% bonds maturing May 15, 2027. Hold AMC shares. In our October 10, 2024, report Making Money Off Making Movies, we recommended buying AMC Entertainment, NYSE, AMC 6.125% bonds maturing May 15, 2027. Our optimism was based on improving operating results and comfortable liquidity, in part because the company was supplementing its cash by selling new shares to the public. On January 9, we recommended that readers sell the bonds. While we believe these long-term trends remain in place, AMC's stock and, to a lesser extent, its bond prices have been falling in the face of recent negative news. We are concerned that matters may worsen for AMC before they get better, and therefore recommend selling the AMC 6.125% bonds, capturing a more than 14% gain. Recent news for AMC has been largely negative. On December 4, the company reported that its longtime CEO, Adam Aron, had a minor stroke while traveling. In our report, we listed the CEO leaving for any reason as a significant risk. While Aron is back at work and is expected to make a full recovery, we view his health issue as a notable red flag. At AMC's most recent annual meeting, shareholders agreed to increase the number of authorized shares to 1.1 billion, nearly doubling the current 513 million shares outstanding. At current market prices, this would enable the company to raise roughly $800 million if needed. While raising cash by selling shares is typically good for bondholders, this move could be seen as a signal that management is concerned about near-term operating results. Box office revenue during the holiday season, from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve, has been short of expectations. Big tentpole films like Avatar, Fire and Ash disappointed. While the final box office figures for 2025 are not yet available, it looks like they will be roughly flat with last year, rather than increasing meaningfully as AMC and its competitors had expected. The odds are good that AMC will have the liquidity, from a combination of operations and sales of new shares, to pay off the 6.125% bonds when they mature in May 2027. Even so, given recent developments, we recommend selling these bonds. At the current bond price of $890, this would represent a 14.2% return on investment, or 11.4% annualized. Action to take: sell AMC Entertainment 6.125% bonds maturing May 15, 2027, CUSIP 00165 CAD 6, down to $860. In our January 9, 2025, report, a nail-biting sequel, we recommended buying AMC Entertainment, NYSE, AMC, stock, then trading at $4.07 per share. After the news that AMC's shareholders voted to double the number of the company's authorized shares, and raise the prospect of significant dilution on the horizon, AMC's shares fell significantly, to the point where we believe they are trading at option value. We recommend investors hold onto their stock at the current share price of roughly $1.59 per share. Ford 0% convertible bonds mature soon. There is no doubt that Ford Motor, NYSE, F, will pay holders the full amount, or more, for the 0% convertible bond maturing in less than 2 months. The conversion price on these bonds is currently $13.28 per share, and shares are trading for $13.35. When the bonds mature on March 15, they will be worth the higher of $1,000, or the value of roughly 76.9 shares of Ford stock. Action to take: hold on to the Ford Motor 0% convertible bond maturing March 15, 2026. Sabre sails along on January 15, travel software company Sabre NASDAQ. Sabre announced a partnership with BizTrip AI, a travel platform that develops virtual corporate travel assistants capable of using natural language to complete complicated travel and lodging reservations. Sabre indicated it would make a small, but unspecified, investment in BizTrip. Sabre's first meaningful bond maturity is in 2029, roughly 3 years from now. We believe management will have time to build Sabre's revenue and profit, and ultimately its stock price. Shares currently trade at $1.30 per share, well below our buy-up to price of $4.50. While still a buy, we emphasize that these shares are volatile and suitable for risk-tolerant investors. Action to take: buy Sabre, NASDAQ, Sabre, up to $4.50 per share. JetBlue's JetForward adds to profitability. In a December 2 update on operations, JetBlue Airways, NASDAQ, JBLU, management reported that demand for air travel remains healthy, and bookings in the quarter ending December 31 had met expectations. JetBlue expects results for the quarter, to be released January 27, will be in line with its expectations. The company is making significant progress on its JetForward cost-cutting and operational efficiency strategy, which is expected to increase operating profits by $800 million to $900 million through 2027. The program achieved $180 million in these improvements in the first half of 2025, and expects to reach its projected target of $290 million by the end of 2025. With $2.9 billion in cash, $600 million available to it on its bank credit agreements, and about $5 billion in unpledged assets, JetBlue should be able to see the JetForward program through to completion. The company says it expects improving results in 2026, with the JetForward program helping lead to higher revenue and reduced expenses in 2026. JetBlue stock, which we recommended on March 11, 2025 at $5.75 per share, now trade for $5.15. Action to take. Buy JetBlue Airways, NASDAQ, JBLU, up to $7 per share. Xerox looks to borrow $500 million. On December 15, Xerox Holdings, NASDAQ, XRX, indicated that it was looking to borrow roughly $500 million secured by the company's intellectual property, including patents, trademarks, like the Xerox brand itself, and technology related to printing and digital services. The company will announce its operating results for the quarter and year that ended December 31 on January 29. Total debt at the end of the quarter that ended September 30 equates to 6.1x operating profit for the previous 12 months. Debt excluding loans, secured loans, and leases to Xerox's customers, which will be paid off as they mature, equated to a relatively modest 3.1x operating profits for the same period. The price of Xerox's 3.75% bonds maturing on March 15, 2030, which we recommended in October 2025, is roughly $290 per $1,000 of face value. We continue to recommend purchasing Xerox's bonds up to $500. Action to take. Buy Xerox Holdings, NASDAQ, XRX 3.75% bond maturing March 15, 2030, up to $500. Mercer International gets lower debt rating. In December, Moody's lowered Mercer International's, NASDAQ, Merck, corporate debt rating to Ca2 from B2 based on what the ratings agency believes will be another weak year for producers of pulp and lumber. On December 18, Mercer, a global forest management company whose 5.125% bond maturing February 1, 2029, we recommended in November, announced that in partnership with Svante Technologies, it began a demonstration to assess the carbon capture potential at its Peace River pulp mill facility. The company believes, subject to verification, that once fully operational in 2027 or 28, the carbon capture process at Peace River should generate between $50 million and $100 million of additional profit for Mercer over a 10-year period. Over the longer term, it may also be possible to generate revenue from carbon capture programs at the company's other facilities. The Mercer bonds currently trade for $690, slightly above our buy-up to price of $650. Action to take. Buy Mercer International, NASDAQ, Merck 5.125% bond maturing February 1, 2029, when it falls below $650. New to distressed investing? Start with our top 3 best buys today. For those who are new to Porter & Company or just beginning to invest in distressed assets, we offer a way to get started. Each month in distressed investing, we will highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are close to an attractive buy point. We suggest you use these top 3 best buys as a starting point. Icahn Enterprises 9.75% bond. Icahn Enterprises 9.75% bond matures January 15, 2029. This $700 million issue, along with the rest of Icahn Enterprises' $4.9 billion in debt, is secured by substantially all the partnership's assets. The company is not permitted to borrow additional funds if its total debt exceeds 1.15x the company's net worth. Based on the company's balance sheet, Icahn Enterprises is not permitted to borrow additional funds, although it's permitted to refinance its existing bonds as they mature. IEP reported solid results for the quarter that ended September 30. The value of the company's assets rose by $567 million, or 17%, to $3.82 billion, from $3.25 billion on June 30. We calculate that bondholders' safety cushion, the amount the portfolio could decline before becoming worth less than IEP's total borrowings, increased to 43% from 39% as of June 30. We continue to recommend Icahn Enterprises 9.75% bonds up to a price of $1,020, which would equate to an annual yield of roughly 9%. Action to take. Buy Icahn Enterprises 9.75% bond maturing January 15, 2029, up to $1,020. Sabre, NASDAQ, Sabre. Stock in July 2023, we recommended 4% convertible bonds issued by travel technology company Sabre, NASDAQ, Sabre, which have since been repaid, as the company was beginning to rebound from a steep pandemic-related decline that called the company's future into question. Sabre's turnaround continued, and in December 2024, we recommended buying shares of Sabre. On July 7, 2025, Sabre completed the sale of its hospitality solutions business to asset manager TPG for $1.1 billion. We continue to see upside over the longer term. We expect that operating profits will increase over the next few years and that the company will dedicate its cash flow to reducing debt. Both of these factors should support the value of the stock. We recommend shares of Sabre, currently trading at $1.30, well below our buy-up to price of $4.50. We emphasize that Sabre's stock is volatile and suitable for risk-tolerant investors. Action to take. Buy Sabre, NASDAQ. Sabre, up to $4.50 per share. Mercer International 5.125% bond. Mercer International, NASDAQ, Merck, produces wood pulp, used in household paper products such as tissues, as well as cardboard packaging, and lumber used for construction and repair. In our November 11, 2025, report, Value Investing on Steroids, we recommended the Mercer International 5.125% bond. We noted that the company's operating results, which are volatile, had been weak in 2025. Recent weakness in the price of wood pulp and lumber caused the price of the bond, maturing February 1, 2029, to fall sharply from $920 to roughly $610 when we issued our report. We believe that Mercer has enough cash and borrowing available to weather the current weak market prices for its pulp and lumber, which may continue through much of the current year. Over the longer term, we see demand for pulp increasing as demand for household paper products increases in developing markets like India and China. We expect that construction is likely to bounce back at some point, and the demand for Mercer's manufactured wood products should have a favorable long-term growth trajectory. We recommended that investors purchase the bonds up to a price of $650, which would equate to an annual yield of roughly 20%. These bonds are currently trading at $690 and should be considered for purchasing when they fall to that level. Please note that the market price of this bond is volatile and suitable for risk-tolerant investors. Action to take. Buy Mercer International, NASDAQ, Merck 5.125% bond maturing February 1, 2029, when it falls below $650. Click here to access the distressed investing portfolio. Martin Fridson Porter & Company. Stevenson, MD. For important disclosures and disclaimers, please visit our legal disclosures page. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top 3 best buys where we highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top 3 best buys under the best buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.